Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Thessalonians tonight, and I want to look at a little thought out of here, and 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and I want to look at a couple verses out of here tonight with the help of the Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We preached on Sunday night kind of the purpose of the church. What is the church and how is the church set up? And I want to continue looking at the church some tonight, and maybe we can learn something from this. Amen. I love the church. How about you? And thank God for the church tonight. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I'll let you remain seated tonight. The Bible said this in verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Father, we love you tonight, and I pray that over the next few minutes tonight, God, that you'd help us as we look into your word, Father. I thank you, God, for my Bible. Thank you, God, Father, for the peace and the comfort that it brings to me. God, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come into your house tonight and to worship you. Thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer tonight. God, I sure am thankful that I can come to you in my times of need, God, and you're there for me. You hear me when I pray. If I come to you, Father, with sin out of my life. And God, thank you, Lord, for answering prayer tonight. God, thank you, Lord, that I can look back over my Christian life at times, God, that you've answered prayers for me, and I appreciate that. God, help us to get clear understanding from your word tonight, and we'll be careful to give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I just about out of habit said you can be seated, but you're already seated. And they say that we're not creatures of habit, but we really are. Amen. It's funny, I'll say this and then I'll give you the thought. It's funny whenever we have a guest preacher and he starts praying at the end of the service. If you'll look around, half of the church will stand up and half the church won't, because I always say, Lord, as we stand tonight, and just out of habit, whenever a guest preacher starts to pray at the end of service, part of the church will stand up. Anyway, I want to look at these verses tonight and use them as a launching pad and talk to you about the need of the church. The need, what is the need of Amazing Grace Baptist Church? What is the need of any church tonight, if you want to look at it that way? Now, we established this on Sunday night, that God has placed the pastor as the overseer of the church and the deacons as his helpers to take care of the church. But then as we move past that, there is other needs within the church. There's other needs within the church. And I know I'll say this again in just a second, but not one person can do everything around the church. And I was talking to a pastor not long ago, and he had took a church that was kindly in the same shape that we was whenever I came here, and God had began to bless him. They had begun to grow, and he said, I'm doing this, 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 and this, and this. And he said, I don't feel like I'm doing anything successful. And I looked at him, and I said, well, you're going to have to learn to allow somebody else to do something also, because you can't do everything. If one man tries to do everything, he limits the growth of a church, because one man can't do but so much. And it took me a little while to understand that, but I sure am glad that I did come to that understanding and started trusting people to help us in the ministry. Amen. Let's look at three different things tonight, and I'll probably not be that long, but I want to give you three different things tonight on the need of the church. Number one, I would say this. When we look at this verse, it said, I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, number one, I would say this tonight. The church, here's some things the church needs. Number one, the church needs your time. The church needs, these are practical things tonight, but the church needs your time. I thought about what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Said this in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as we abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What did he say? He said, in this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The church needs your time. They gave themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves to the Lord. Well, why do they need, why does the church need our time? Can I say it this way? So that we can work together. So that we can work together. I would say this, there is no way that Miss Leslie and I can do everything that happens at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I wrote a few things down as I was studying this week, and I thought about Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, before anybody else gets here, 99% of the time before I even get here, the parking team gets here. And here's what they'll do. They'll unlock the church. They'll turn all the lights on. They'll walk through and make sure everything looks nice. And then they get a blower out. They blow all the sidewalks off. They blow the parking lot off. They clean up any trash that may be in the parking lot. They get everything set in place. They block off visitor spots. Then if it's raining, you'll know this. They get an umbrella. They'll come out of your vehicle. They'll get you in from the rain so you don't get wet and your hair don't get messed up as you come in. So you take that. Then also on Sunday mornings, whenever it comes to Sunday school, you've got a nursery that's taking place. Then you got a class that's for 2- and 3-year-olds, a class for 4- and 5-year-olds, a class for 6- to 8-year-olds, a class for 9- to 11-year-olds, a class to 12- to 14-year-olds, a class for 15- to 18-year-olds. Actually on that 15- to 18-year-olds, you've got two separate classes. So whenever you look at all of that, just in the young people, you've got 16 different teachers that's working on Sunday morning, because in our youth, we will not allow a teacher to be in there by themselves. There has to be two in there at all times. So you take, there's 16 teachers just right there between 10 and 11. Then you got a young adult class, and you got a senior adult class going on. So there you're up to 20 people that's just laboring to make everything happen just during Sunday school, not counting the guys that came in early and got everything ready. So you said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, the church needs your time to work together, to work together. I thought about during Sunday morning worship service. During the worship service, here's what's going on. You've got nursery workers. There's 2 to 3 nursery workers in there every Sunday morning. Then you've got a group that's working with the 3- to 5-year-olds. Then you got a group working with the 6- to 11-year-olds. So there's a minimum of 8 or 9 workers that's doing that. Then you got a hospitality team that's welcoming visitors and having them seated. Then you got an audio and a video team. Then you got a safety team. And in the midst of all that, you still got the parking team working. So you say, preacher, why do you say all that? I say all that to say this. The church needs your time to help work in the ministry. I thought about this. Wednesday nights, we come in here and gather together, but you got Miss Teresa that's preparing snacks in the kitchen for the kids. You've got all the kids over there, and at the minimum, you've got 8 teachers that's working over there. So you say, preacher, why do you say that? I say that to say this. The church needs your time. Why do they need your time? So that we can work together. So that we can work together. One person can't do it. Are you with me? One person can't do it. But you know what we can do? Man, if we'll all come together, we'll all work together, you know what can happen? Man, they can be a lot of people reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So as we think about the church, they need our time. And why do they need our time? They need our time so that we can work together. Not only to work together, but the church needs your time to witness together. To witness together. I thought about this. Most people are one to Jesus through a Christian worker witnessing to them personally one-on-one. There's more people that get saved working one-on-one, more than likely, and according to statistics, than that walks the aisle and gets saved. Matter of fact, there's been several people that I've saw God convict them and speak to their heart, and they never move in a church, but I've ended up going to their house and just talking to them when the Lord led me and being able to lead them to the Lord. She said, "Preacher, what are you saying? Man, we can witness together." You know what's going to happen on the 26th? We're going to meet on Saturday morning, and the Lord usually blesses us with a great crew of about 25 or 30. And you know what we get to do? We get to go out, knock on doors, and invite somebody to the house of God. Invite somebody to the house of God. You know what it takes to make that happen? It takes workers, and workers giving their time to the Lord. The church needs your time. The church needs your time. Because we work together, because we witness together. I thought about this. The Bible said this in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 20. "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto me, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." From house to house. So you said, "Preacher, what do they need of my time?" Well, we need your time so that we can work together. So that we can, what you said, "Preacher, I want to do something at the church." Well, come see me, and I promise you we'll find something for you to do at the church. Now, can I just say something? Whenever you volunteer to do something, be willing to do anything. Are you with me? I give you this illustration. I'm going to move on to the next part of what we can do together. Before Brother Austin and Miss Joanna got married, and I seen him look over at her. He knew where I was going with this. We were sitting down in the office before they got married talking, both of them said, "Preacher," said, "when we get married, we just won't be used. We just, whatever God wants us to do, whatever we can do, we want to be used by God." And I said, "Sounds great. I promise you, we'll use you." So the Friday morning, all of the teams met, and we dispersed it out to Western North Carolina, and we had to build a platform. Brother Austin does construction, so I said, "Man, I'm going to keep y'all with me today," and Brother Lloyd went with us, and this is what we're going to do. So we went up there, and we got everything, got to moving everything and unloading lumber, and I looked at Brother Austin, and I said, "Hey, we need to pull them two commodes up in there, and we'll set new commodes back in their place." He said, "Okay, preacher, no problem at all." And we got them a light, got a generator started, and got a light set up in that bathroom. And I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but in just a little while, I heard it. And I thought, "Well, what in the world?" I walked in there, and him and Miss Joanna both had rubber gloves on, and Brother Mark, that wax seal that, you know what I'm saying, they had to get that wax seal up, and man, they was both in there, and they was going at it. I stuck my head in there, and I went, "Preacher, it don't matter what it is, we just want to be involved in the ministry." And I said, "Welcome to the ministry, youngins," and turn around and walk back off. You know what they said? Said, "That's right, preacher, we just want to be involved." But you know what that is? That's a servant's heart. And when we think about the ministry of a church, man, there's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more that we can do if we'll just be willing to do it. We'll just be willing to do it. You know, I say this to young preachers all the time. And I say this to young workers all the time. Everybody wants to sit on the platform, Brother Matt. I remember whenever we had that meeting in 2016, and you know, we was running a couple thousand. A lot of y'all was there during that, and me and Daddy and Brother Brian and Brother Jeremy sat on the platform of every service, and Brother Dorsey that preached. And you know, a lot of people, they wanted to sit on the platform, but at 1 o'clock in the morning, Brother Brian, when the wind was blowing and it was pouring down rain, they didn't want to be out there pushing the flies of that tent, keeping the water off of it, driving more stakes down in the middle of the night, trying to get the tent tied back down, keep it from blowing away. Is anybody hearing me tonight? When the toilets, the porta-johns blowed over, they weren't the ones out there setting them back up and trying to get everything cleaned up because more people were. Everybody wants the fame, but nobody wants the part that goes with it. So when we think about it, man, there's a work to do. The church needs your time so we can work together, so we can witness together. But watch this, so that we can worship together. So that we can worship together. So that we can magnify Him together. And you know this, I love choir singing. I love choir singing. And it's my favorite singing. Besides my kids singing and my mama singing, I'd rather hear our choir than anybody. You say, well, that's offensive. Well, if you sing in the choir, it ought not be, because I'm saying I'd rather hear you. I love to hear choir singing. I think choir singing is as close to what we can get to what it's going to sound like in heaven when everybody begins to raise their voices and magnify Him. I love choir singing. But let me tell you something. For a choir to be successful in their worship through music, it takes practice. It takes practice, man. It takes time. And for us to worship together, it takes time. It takes time. A week ago, last Sunday night, man, did the Lord not blow through here. You know what? It took of your time coming to church that night to be able to worship the way that we did. So, number one, the church needs your time so that we can work together, so that we can witness together, and so that we can worship together. Number two, not only does the church need your time, now it's going to get real quiet, the church needs your tithe. The church. Now, one thing that you're going to have to say amen to, if you've been here any length of time at all, if you've been here over 2 years, you'll have to say amen that I hardly ever mention anything about tithe. Matter of fact, in 18 years, I probably should have preached on it a whole lot more than what I have. Probably in 18 years, I bet you could count on two hands the number of times that I've just preached a whole message on tithing. But I'm going to tell you something. It's scriptural tonight. It's in the Word of God. I got two amens right there. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. The church needs your tithes. 1 Corinthians says this in chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 says this. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The church needs your tithe. Let me show you three things about this. Number one, the plan of giving. The plan of giving. The Bible teaches that every child of God is to participate in the church's financial program. Verse 2 says this, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. You know what that means? Every one of you. That means everybody. One of the first things that we taught our kids whenever they started making any kind of money at all was that 10% of it goes to God. Just automatically, it goes to Him. Can I say something to you? My wife and I have been married for 25 years. Here in just a few days, we're going to try to slip away for our 25th wedding anniversary. We had one trip planned and we wasn't able to go. But anyway, and in 25 years, can I tell you something? We've never had a conversation about tithing. We never had a conversation about it. Whenever we got married, we just knew that's what we was going to do. We just knew it. You know, one thing I don't say, I should probably say more than I do. But you can give online. Isn't that right, Miss Stephanie? You can give online. And here's the cool thing about this. We was talking about this the other day because we had to change everything at the credit union. We're switching different things, but that's neither here or there. I said, you know what? I said, probably the best thing we can do is just set that up on auto draft. Because the way ours is set up here at the church, you can actually go in there and set it up on auto draft. You know what? If you'll just set it up that way. Well, but preacher, what if I need that? That money's not yours. That money's the Lord's, man. Well, preacher, I can't afford to give my tithe. Time out. I can't afford not to give my tithe. I can't afford not to give my tithe. What did he say? He said, let every one of you. So the plan of giving gets for everybody. The place of giving. What did he say? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Well, what's he talking about? Well, take your Bible, go to the book of Malachi with me. Malachi chapter number 3. I don't have this marked, so I'm gonna flip back. Malachi chapter number 3. The Bible says this in verse number 8. I'm going to start reading for the sake of time. Malachi 3, verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Can I just say it this way? I guarantee you that nobody sitting here that Sunday morning when the offering plate comes by you is going to stick your hand in there and get money out of it. There's no way you... let me just back up and rephrase that. I hope there's no way you would do that. Are you with me? I hope there's no way you would do it. In today's age and time, you never know. But I hope that you would. So he says, will a man rob God? Then he goes on to say this, yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that ye shall not be room, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Did you know it's the only time that you'll find in the Bible that he says, prove me. Try me and see what I'll do. God says, try me, just try me and see what I'll do for you. So what is the storehouse? It's the church house in our days. So let me just go ahead and address this. You say, preacher, tithing was under the law. That shows your ignorance of the Word of God. It was before the law.
Right.
Everybody okay tonight? It was before the law. You say, preacher, that's in the Old Testament. Well, then don't never quote Psalms 23 to me again. Because that was in the... Everybody okay tonight? Some of y'all going, man, I wish wherever you was at before you came here, you'd have just stayed there. No, I'm just giving you the Bible tonight. And God says this, hey, look, you bring your tithes, the plan of it's for everybody, and the place of it is into the church house. My tithes does not belong to some ministry down the road. My tithe belongs to the house of God. Now, I may give to a ministry, I may give to help another ministry, but that's above my tithes. My tithes belong to the house of God. That's where they belong to. I thought about this. We can see that God has a plan for giving. He talks about the tenth, bring it in to the house of God. I want to say something to you tonight. And I want you to hear me, and I want you to accept what I'm going to give you. A lot of you is not going to, but I want you to. If you're not tithing the way the Bible says tithe, start it this coming Sunday and practice it to the end of the year and see if God's word proves to be true. He said, prove me. Try me. See what I'll do for you. See what I'll do for you. You said, preacher, why are you laughing about it? Because I've seen God do things for me, and I've sat back and went, how in the world? How? And let me tell you what it was. It was this right here, Malachi chapter number 3. It was God showing me. Can I just say it this way? Stennett Blue said it this way. God will never give to you what God will give through you. God will never give to you what God will give through you. If you'll tithe to God, you'll be amazed at what God will do for you. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to drive a brand new Cadillac everywhere you go. I hope you do. But that's not what that says. That's not what that says. But I'm telling you something. God will do things for you That'll be unbelievable if you'll just trust Him. The place of it, the plan of it. But here's the purpose of it. What is the purpose of a tithe? Well, the purpose of the tithe, can I just put it real simple? It's to keep the church house functioning. It's the way the church stays in business, if you want to look at it that way. Here at Amazing Grace, and you know this, but we run a very detailed line item budget. Every red cent that comes into Amazing Grace, Miss Stephanie will tell you this, Brother Tim will tell you this, Brother Brian will tell you this, Brother Matt will tell you this, Brother Mark will tell you this, Brother Robert and Brother Rodney will tell you this, that if there is one area that I am over the top picky about, it's finances. There is no red cent unaccounted for at Amazing Grace. Let me tell you the reason why. When there's a red cent unaccounted for, there's room to question. There's room to question where it's going. You say, well, everything's got a miscellaneous. Sure does. Our budget's got a miscellaneous in it. It's in purple. The line is in purple on it. And there's a separate spreadsheet that whenever you look at that and it says $937.27, you go to the separate spreadsheet that says miscellaneous, and all $937.27 is detailed out right there. And here in just a few weeks, me and Miss Stephanie will sit down and we'll begin planning the budget for next year to present to the financial committee. And you know what we'll do with all that miscellaneous? We'll go, do we need to create a new line item for some of this to go in? You said, preacher, what are you saying? The purpose of giving is to keep the church going. And I'm going to tell you something, then it's the responsibility of the pastor and the treasurer to make sure that it's handled in the right way. I'm preaching to me. Y'all ought to be screaming amen. If I'm going to give to something, I want to know where it's going, man. And thank God the purpose of your giving is to keep the church. These lights just don't stay on. Are you with me? The Sunday school material don't just show up. The senior citizens just went to Pennsylvania. Took me a minute. And they didn't just give us the tickets for the senior citizens. No. All of that has a place. Are you with me this morning or this evening? So you say, preacher, what does the church need? The church needs your time. The church needs your time. But can I say this in closing? And I'll just say this right before I say that in closing. If you're not tithing, you're not right with God. Your relationship with God's not right. If you're not tithing, I don't know who does and who don't. Okay? I don't see that. I'm not going to see that. I don't want to see that. It would probably affect the way I feel about some people if I did see that. So I'm not going to look. I don't see that. I don't look at that. Okay? But can I say this to you? If you don't tithe, you really shouldn't even vote on anything to do with money. When people ask and I see a financial report, I tell Miss Stephanie, if they're tithing to the church, give them a financial report. You say, preacher, I don't agree with that. Well, run for pastor. Why is it your business? Why should you have a say-so about it? If you're not even contributing to it, that's about like me going to quality pest control and saying, I need to see all the financial statements and I think we need to do this and we need to do it. Well, why have I got a say-so in that? I don't give nothing to that company. Preacher, you're preaching good tonight. I know it, praise God. Number one, the church needs your time. Number two, the church needs your tithe. Number three, you said, preacher, why would you even say that to me? Number one, because the Bible says it. But number two, because I want the best for you and your family. And if you're not tithing, I promise you, you don't have the best for you and your family. I promise you that. Number three, the church needs your talents. They need your talents. Listen to what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 4. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, things do. There's people dying and going to hell. Somebody give me a witness right there. Well, preacher, I just don't. I'm going to tell you something. If you can sing, God's bless you with that, you're being the choir singing. You're being the choir singing. You're being, I'm preaching good, you're being the choir singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. There's something to sing. I'll just say this to you, boy. You can search far and wide and not find a choir any better than ours. That song Sunday morning, man, that first song, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One, Lloyd was sitting behind me and he leaned up and he said, boy, that sure didn't sound like a first time singing it. Let me tell you the reason why. Somebody had give their time. And somebody had give their tithe. And because somebody had give their tithe, we're able now to have a program where we send you the music so you can listen to it before you come to choir practice to be better at what you're doing. And then whenever you come to choir practice, instead of it taking 3 hours to learn a new song or 3 times, you've listened to it over and over and over. And now because somebody has gave their time and somebody has gave their tithe and somebody has gave their talent, we can now worship through songs. That's good preaching, isn't it? We can worship. Why? Because somebody's given their talents. Some to sing. I thought about this. Some to send. Some to send. Boy, God's called a lot of preachers out of this church. Are you with me? He's called a lot of preachers out of this church. Man, I just read through about 12 or 13 different names of men that's out preaching today out of our church. Boy, what a blessing. What a blessing. You say, are you praying for God to call more preachers in the church? No, not really, because I don't want nobody leaving right now. No, I pray, Lord, if you want more preachers called out of the church, then God, you call them. I'm not going to call them. You say, well, I think such and such or such and such, and I'm going to say this, and the Lord may call this individual to preach one day. I don't know. That's between him and God. But I remember not long after Brother Matt became a deacon here at the church and started teaching Sunday school, somebody come up to me and said, you know what, I bet God's going to call him to preach one day. And I said, well, I hope not. And they said, well, why do you hope not? I said, because I need somebody to stay around here and help me. God don't call everybody to preach. And we don't need to call nobody to preach. We need to let God do that. That's God's business. Not everybody's going to be a preacher. Man, thank God for some men. Those men that I just called their names just a minute ago that serves as trustees in our finance committee and our deacons in our church. Thank God they're still here laboring together with us. But he does call some to sin, some to sing. But then I would say this, he calls all to serve. Calls all to serve. All to serve. What does the church need? The church needs your talents tonight. Church needs your talents tonight. I am all for doing things right. And if we're gonna push something out, I'm all for it being the best that we can make it. If we're going to push a video out, if we're going to push a picture out, I'm all for it being the very best that it can be. And you know what? God's blessed some of y'all with talent in taking pictures and doing graphic arts. I think about Miss Tina and Miss Courtney and Miss Stephanie. Edits about any email that I send, any devotion that I write. Miss Stephanie every week edits devotions that I write. And you know what? I sent her one not long ago, and I just told her, I said, I here's the thought, but I can't get it going. And I said, but here's everything that I've got. And I had a little skeleton. And she said, okay, I'll take a look at it. And about 2 or 3 hours later, she sent me a message back. She said, see what you think. I looked back on it, and I replied back, I'm pretty smart. I said that really well. And you know what? A lot of the devotions that I write, when you're reading them, it's because 2 or 3 other eyes has done been through it. You don't want to read it after I get done with it. I know what it says. Miss Tina, it's not time to say amen, okay? Of all the times you say amen, that right now is not it. I know what I'm trying to say. And probably Miss Stephanie can understand what I'm trying to say more than anybody because of the time that she worked here with us at the church. But whenever you read that, you know what it is? Somebody else has said, you know what, preacher, I'm not going to stand behind the pulpit and preach. I think either one of them three women would every once in a while if I'd let them. But you know what they've said? I can edit something for you. You know what they're saying? I can serve. I can serve. You know what they were saying when they was gagging, getting that wax ring up? I can serve. I can serve. Preacher, I can labor. For we are laborers together. Why? For the cause of Christ. And I'm not quoting that verbatim, but it's all for the cause of Christ. And the church needs your time. The church needs your tithe. And the church needs your talents. And if we'll all put our whole heart into all of that, it'd be amazing what we could see done around here. Be amazing what we could see done around here. I thought about back first of the spring, going into the summer. Come start playing. There you are. I looked down and seen Landon sitting there, and I thought, boy, Tanya's changed a lot since she walked off the platform. I thought about back at the first of the year. It's 7:54. I'll give you this and we'll dismiss. I thought about back at the first of spring. I love to see flowers out and things to look good around the church and everything. A lot of people, and she'd get mad for me saying this, but Miss Tanya, Brother Lloyd, has a greenhouse. And practically everything but the mums that sit out now, they growed all of that in their greenhouse. And then they brought it up here and they set it all. And man, did the flowers in the spring and in the summer, was they not beautiful around the church? Brother Lloyd, because of his work schedule, he has to leave on Sunday afternoons. He travels all over the country as a lead superintendent for a big commercial construction company. But you know what they were saying? They were saying this. What I can do, I will do. What I can do, I will do. The moms look good outside, don't they? They don't want you to know this. But let me tell you who planted all of them and who comes by throughout the week and checks them. And I think they talk to them, or they talk to each other, or they talk to theirself one. Brother Ted and Miss Susan. Brother Ted and Miss Susan. They're the ones that takes care of that right now in this season. That's their ministry right now. That you said, preacher, that's not. Well, that is. Why, sure it is. Matter of fact, even said in the Word of God that if you give a drink of water in His name, that there'd be a reward for it. So we've got one or two things that we can do when it comes to the church. We can sit back and criticize everything about the church. Or we can say, I'll water the plants, or I'll grow the plants, or I'll blow the parking lot off, or I'll set the cones out, or I'll unlock the doors, or are you with me tonight? The church needs you. Can I just put it that way? And I'll take it a step further. You need the church. I need you. I do. Because there's no way everything could happen that happens. But you need me too. You need me too. I don't need you, preacher. You might eat them words one day. One of the first people you call a lot of times is a pastor. I can't, countless tragedies I've been on. And when I arrive, one of the first things that I'm asked about, 98% of the time by family, if they've not done it yet, will you contact my pastor? Please call my pastor and ask him to come. You know what I do? I contact the pastor, I attempt to, and have him to come. Why? Because you need the preacher, and the preacher needs you, and you need the church, and the church needs you. And There's something for you to do. There's something for you to do. Father,